You have been in seclusion for several weeks. You're only allowed to see the sun on Fridays. You're not allowed to kill any living thing, even for food. You reflect back onto your purification when you lost your previous identity. You were given a bath and a change of clothes, your head was shaved, and a small cross was cut into the apex of your skull. Your body was being prepared to accept your orisa, your spirit. Soon you will come out of seclusion, and you will learn the chants, rituals, songs, dances, colors, symbols, and myths associated with your spirit. Then, finally, to receive your spirit, you will enter into a possession trance. You will be spotted with white body paint, and an audience of your family and friends will encircle you and call out your name. After a 7-year journey, you will officially become a member of a terreiro, a cult house for the Afro-Brazilian religion Candomblé.
While Candomblé certainly does not stem solely from one African religion, it is clear that the core set of beliefs and rituals come from the Yoruba people, who lived in what is today Nigeria and the Bight of Benin. The Yoruba religion stressed the respect of nature and the building of strong connection with elemental forces. The followers worshipped many gods, or orisas. Leaders known as babalawos spent 10 to 15 years learning how to connect humans to the orisas and bridge the gap between mortals and gods. In the early 19th century, as a result of the transatlantic slave trade, Candomblé emerged in Brazil and soon became one of the most important examples of African influence within Brazilian culture. The first two founders of Candomblé were said to be female ex-slaves of Yoruba origin. The slavery destroyed many of the families and cultures and structures of African religions, the practice of Candomblé ensured that African culture would not be lost completely in the New World. The practice of Candomblé allowed those who were oppressed to resist the white dominant culture. While the slaves appeared to be conforming to white cultural practices, beneath the surface was an entirely different culture struggling to manifest itself.
Modern Candomblé is centered around a dozen orisas, or spirits. Adherents believe in a supreme god known as Olorun, who created all things, but is distant and unreachable to mortals. Believers do not worship him directly. The supreme god was not present in the Yoruba religion, but developed later, in Brazil, as Africans came into contact with Catholicism. The remainder of the orisas are directly linked to the everyday lives of humans, and serve as representatives of Olorun on Earth. Similar to figures within the Catholic religion, such as the Virgin Mary and Jesus, each orisa possessed a specific characteristic or quality. The orisas each represent different facets of nature, water, air, forest, and earth, and they get their axé, or energy, as well as certain personality traits from these elements. Two deities dominate each follower of Candomblé. These are guardian deities, or owners of the head, and they are opposites. One is masculine, the other feminine, one hot, the other cold, and pass on their personality traits to that person. The two deities are also constantly in conflict because one is dominant in the person while the other is recessive. This idea of opposition, hot versus cold, fire versus water, masculine versus feminine, is central to the practices and beliefs of Candomblé. Instead of the Christian division between heaven and hell, opposition in Candomblé is also manifested in the contrast between the realm of the spirits and the material world.
Since the development of Candomblé in northeastern Brazil, specifically Bahia, women have played an important role in its formation and expansion. Consequently, there are over 2,000 Candomblé terreiros that have been established in Bahia today. At the top of the hierarchy is the Pei, father or Mater Santo, mother saints, who also serve as diviners of the medical and spiritual problems of the community. To prescribe culturally acceptable solutions to certain problems, Candomblé priests throw cowrie shells onto the ground and, based on the way they fall, read the will of the spirits. Priests may also work with magic, manipulating the occult forces for their own ends and thus of their clients, although this activity is downplayed in the more prosperous terreiros. There are also sons and daughters of saints. The little mother sees to wishes of the Pei or the Mãe do Santo and sees to the everyday functioning of the terreiros. The first terreiros established in Bahia was the Sisterhood of Our Lady of Good Death. Within this sisterhood, also known as the Casa Branca, religious rivalries later developed, causing many of its members to split off and establish numerous religious temples elsewhere. Ultimately, it was within these places of worship that the slave and free black population strived to maintain their African-oriented traditions.
Although adherents believe that Candomblé priests can heal people, there is a larger focus on preventative medicine. Since diseases are believed to originate from specific sources, such as a disharmony with the orixas that dominate them, followers are required to balance their axé and maintain a state of equilibrium with the spiritual universe in order to avoid illness. In order to establish this equilibrium, believers must adhere to the scriptures and teachings of Candomblé and avoid material and spiritual excesses by respecting the limits and preferences of their guardian deities, otherwise the exus, or devils, will appear. Members who have a stable Axe contribute to the power of the collective Axe of the entire group, which then conveys this energy back to the individuals. Another way the adherents hope to gain the favor of the Orishas and preserve a stable Axe is by respecting the deity's food preferences. Food offerings are placed on the altar, or peje, of each Orisha on the day of the week that is dedicated to that deity.
The collective also maintains a balanced Axe through obligations to the religious community. The most visible of these obligations is the public ceremonies dedicated to the worship of the Orishas. Most celebrations, however, are limited to the membership of the Condomblé Church and a few outsiders. Activities begin with the ritual killing of the preferred animals of the deity, usually goats, chickens, guinea fowl, and white doves. All parts of the animal are used in the ceremony. The heart, lungs, liver, and parts thought to impart special qualities, wings for flight, feet for locomotion, head for vision and thought, are offered to the gods, while the blood is drained from the body and poured onto the sacred stones. The rest is used in the ceremonial meal served at the midpoint of the celebration. Next, followers sing each deity's verses and songs, as well as give them their favorite foods. Then, various members of the Terieo dance in a clockwise direction to the rhythm of one deity after another. It is during the dancing, at first slow and methodical, but later bordering on frantic, that the deities penetrate the translucent field separating the parallel worlds. Descending to earth, summoned by the music and chants, the gods arrive to occupy the bodies of their disciples. Then everyone eats, and the dances repeat again. At the end of the festivities, in the early morning, filles, or daughters of saints, often enter a secondary trance. In this infantile state, known as Ere, the deity manifests in the form of a child, 3 or 4 years of age. These baby gods and goddesses are sometimes allowed to stay and frolic. The celebration usually ends here.
Early years of Bayin Condomblé, ceremonies were often broken up by police because the worship of African gods threatened the expansion of Catholicism. As late as the 1920s and 1930s, the Brazilian government suppressed Candomblé practices. However, in the late 1930s, Brazilians began to see themselves as culturally and racially mixed and embrace their diverse identities. As a result, a greater emphasis was placed on distinctively Afro-Brazilian syncretism, specifically Candomblé. Since the 1930s, the Brazilian government has tried to perpetuate the notion that Brazil is a racially democratic country. To do so, it has promoted popular Afro-Catholic festivals that combine traditional Catholicism with Candomblé to obscure the issue of race. Modern Candomblé is just one example of the many Afro-American cultural practices that developed as a result of the transatlantic slave trade.